Mic check.
Next, I'd like to introduce...
Throw your hands in the air if you're a true player.
This is Sheeman and Shepard.
That boy is good.
Good and terrible.
You shut your mouth.
I think you two dudes are going to become real homies.
Where do we find these guys?
Oh, man, I hate those guys.
Sheeman and Shepard on 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.
Greetings and salutations, friends of Southwest Florida. It is a hump day Wednesday, or as Pete Shepard likes to say, Friday. He's getting ready for a long, long weekend. A long, long night last night if you watched hockey. More hockey on today. Stanley Cup playoff action involving his Bruins. Pete may drift in and out, I'm predicting. No. Our phone number is 239-337-ESPN, 239-337-3776. That's also the Stony Brook Golf Club text line as well. Don't forget, you can follow us on Twitter at 99.3ESPN. Follow me at Craig ESPN. Pete Shepard's at PSHEP326. A lot to get to, football. And then there were three, as in Power Three, three conferences. We'll get to all that. And Hard Knocks debuting last night as well.
Didn't see it yet.
Me neither. But I read about it.
I saw a couple clips about it. Not sure how much there's actually going to be there, except for Anthony Lynn telling everybody he had COVID.
It sounds like the whole show is just showing people taking cotton swabs up their nose.
Yeah.
That's
all the videos I saw. People wincing.
Yeah, yeah. How are you today?
I'm great. I'm great. Bruins of Carolina tied at 3 in overtime. Here we go.
Right.
And I was, the game started with the Tampa Bay yesterday. What a phenomenal game. Fourth longest game in NHL history. Just absolutely phenomenal.
I even watched some of that last night.
How could you not watch anything else but that? There was nothing else even close to that.
Well, I really wasn't aware. And then I was flipping through my phone. And I'm like, wait a minute. Fourth overtime at the time. And I was like, this game was on the air when we were on the air. So, the six-hour hockey. So I flipped over. I watched the last part of the fourth and then what remained of the fifth.
Yeah, overtime. I was out to after here, went out to
sounds like I didn't miss anything
dinner
in between.
Down the street in Naples last night at the Jack Seafood. Got to say shout-out to Keith, and forgive me for not knowing his friends. They're big fans of the show, by the way.
Keith and friend, hello.
Yeah, Keith and friend and the wives, hello. And threw a cocktail at him, and they said some really nice things about us. So wanted to say,
wow, you're easy. Somebody compliments the show, and you're throwing cocktails their way. That's nice of you.
They were very nice. They were very nice. Nice people. And went home, and the game wasn't over yet. So actually, I was listening on my phone.
Ah.
One of the best things about Xfinity is you can stream on your phone.
Who knew?
So
I have Xfinity. I didn't know that.
Yes, you can. You can stream on your phone for free. Any station.
Wow.
So
see, I really don't need more TV wherever I go. Like, I don't need to
sure
watch TV when
you're at the
I'm
beach or something
or
and you're
driving.
Watching a game, or if you DVR a program,
or
if you're bored and you're, say, you're a passenger and you're on a 5-hour journey.
If that's the case. But if I'm going to the beach, I'm going to the beach.
Well,
I'm not
going
to go watch
that.
A hockey game in the first round of the Stanley Cup playoff. It sounds like I didn't miss anything. I mean, I left here. It was 2-2 at 6 o'clock. I
Great
tuned
action.
In at about 8:30. It was 2-2. It was like a soccer scrum.
It was not a soccer scrum.
On ice.
Stop it.
I didn't miss anything,
it's
and I saw the good parts.
You missed a lot. You missed great action. It was phenomenal. Up and down they went.
Okay.
And it's really a shame you're not a hockey fan.
It's not that. It's just...
Well, you're not. I mean, it's okay.
I'm a
but you're not.
Fan, and so when I saw something was tied in the fourth overtime, I thought, well, this is a monumental event. I need to be a part of it, and I tune in then.
Had Tampa Bay lost that game last night after getting swept last year by Columbus, man, I don't know what it would have done for their psyche, but, man, they really needed it.
Yeah. How many days is it going to take them to recover from that? Because I still don't know how great a shape they're in. I mean,
Kupersalo,
they're still kind of getting back into flow of things here.
Kupersalo and Vasilevsky, the two goalies, were just absolutely just sick. You're talking about Vasilevsky, stopped 61-63, and the Lightning had 88 shots on goal.
Yeah.
88 shots
88.
On goal.
88. So
Kupersalo is unbelievable for Columbus.
86 stops or whatever. Or
yeah.
Whatever. It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
All right. But, with all that as the backdrop. It's time now for SportsCenter Rundown, ladies and gentlemen. We got to talk about Chris's Shark Week outfit, too. Here's Chris!
All right, the Big 12, they're playing football this year. They announced it today. There is a change to their 9-plus-1 schedule, though. They pushed all games back to September 26. The Buffalo Bills have signed Coach Sean McDermott to a multi-year contract extension. ESPN's Adam Schefter reporting it is a six-year deal, going to keep him with the Bills through the 2025 season. And Augusta National and Masters chairman Fred Ridley released a statement today announcing the Masters in November will be played without any patrons this year.
How you doing? You okay?
I'm not great.
I mean, when you first read that, with no Masters for
you.
Oh, yeah,
I'm sorry.
Yeah, I'm not great. Yeah.
Masters for you. Come back 1 year.
That's still,
when
you know.
When I hit you this morning, what was that like?
Not totally unexpected.
It was not unexpected. The group that we have that I go up there with every year, we kind of texted each other.
Yeah.
And we were emotional supports for one another.
But
and
did you feel the same way you felt about the Big Ten yesterday? That was a premature decision.
No.
Why? This wasn't until November, Chris.
This is personal.
I would think my first thought was, well, Chris thinks this is way too early to be making this decision.
Yeah, they didn't cancel the event, though, and it's just easier. And we've seen that golf is fine without the fans. It's not great. It's not ideal, obviously. You'd love to hear those back nine roars on a Sunday.
Yeah,
I like being a part of the
Think
roars
of all the
on
fake
a Sunday.
Bird noise that they won't need.
No, they'll need more.
No, they'll need more of it. Yeah.
I don't know.
Because there's so many birds in Georgia in November, right?
Oh,
right.
That's true.
That's right. Yeah. So, not unexpected, but still disappointing. I did kind of bank those two vacation days.
Yeah.
So I can't guarantee you guys I will be here on those 2 days.
Wow.
But you know what? We've got time to figure that out.
How many vacation days do you get being the boss around here? Like 8 weeks?
I've worked here like 10 years, man.
I know. Everybody, every other weekend's a 4-day weekend for you.
You got to learn how to play the system, man. You got to play the system.
Oh, all right. Very good. All right. So let's dive a little deeper into this. Again, still 3-3, Carolina, Boston, 15 minutes in overtime.
Good game. Real quick, NBA just announced of the 342 players tested for COVID on the NBA campus since test results were last announced August 5th, zero have returned confirmed positive tests. Yesterday, same thing with the NHL. They had a couple thousand, whatever they did, and zero. So the NHL and NBA are just killing it.
I'm a little surprised the NHL bubble's working as well as it has. Because like we talk, it's not a true bubble.
Right.
They can go out and walk around in the cities, and they can go out.
But
and,
they're not
and,
encouraged to.
No,
do
they're
that.
Not encouraged yeah. to. But it's not yeah. a. It's not a bubble. I mean,
there's
it's
no
not
time
a,
to go out walking around.
No, you're in a, not you're, when you're playing.
A game
yeah.
for 6 hours.
I
guarantee
you, the Tampa Rays right now are in bed or in an ice tub at
the
this
Lightning.
Moment.
The Lightning.
The Lightning would
what
be
did
too.
I say? What did I say?
The Rays.
Yeah, I meant the good of you to know what I was talking about.
But well, the NHL did the right thing last night. And as you know, going back and forth with some people on social media, like, why didn't you? I called it after the third overtime. I said, if this goes after four, they're probably just not because of TV. Although I know they don't want to start a game at 11 o'clock on the East Coast.
Yeah.
I get that because it takes at least 87 minutes between games. That's an NHL rule.
87? Why such a specific number?
I
why
don't
can't
know.
It be 90?
I have no idea, but it's 87 minutes, basically 90 minutes.
It's odd.
So it would have been 11 o'clock before that game started, but I don't think the ice conditions would have been horrific, even with the Zamboni and all that stuff. They needed time for maintenance to get the ice back in shape. So, yeah, they'll have to play back-to-back games tonight and tomorrow.
Are you educating
night,
me
right.
that the Zamboni would not have done the job? It
no.
would still been like you can't pass over it twice?
No, it's not that simple. You get chips and holes in the ice, and you actually need to go out there and physically, you know, patch it up. Zamboni does a great job, but it doesn't do everything.
Spray a little water on it, let it freeze over and smooth over, like patching up a hole?
Yeah, something more than that. You get some snow, and you just patch it up. It would have been extremely difficult. It would have been horrific for both teams to try to play that game on that ice surface last night. So,
All right. Well, they're back at it now. Again, we'll keep an eye on that.
All right, so college football.
Yes.
So, Nebraska gets called to the principal's office, so to speak.
Yeah.
And now Ryan Day says he's campaigning for an 8-game Big Ten schedule starting in January.
Everybody's got their own plan.
Because I want to go to Madison in January.
Yeah. Good point.
Fantastic.
And it ain't better by March either.
You can't.
No.
You can't play football in Wisconsin outside in Well, you can. Sure you can. You can.
Yeah,
It's Lambo, I guess, yeah.
All right, so just a quick review. The SEC and ACC, following the Big Ten and the Pac-12's announcements yesterday that they're postponing the fall season, the SEC and ACC said, no, we're sticking to our plans. Plans are unchanged. And then later in the night and on into today, the Big 12, which seemed like the linchpin in all of this, said, yeah, I think we're going to play. We're going to play. We're good. So now we got a Power 3 that's playing in the fall. We got a Power 2 that might play in the spring.
Can we call it a Power 1.5?
Yeah, we could.
Pac-12, it's just, I'm not going to, apart from the 10:30 kickoff, I'm not going to miss the West Coast college football.
So, I mean, I mentioned this yesterday. Are we going to have a split national champion now? Or are we going to have no national champion? And in the NFL, there's just enough college football as of today. It's going to ruin the NFL's plan to want to play on Saturday, right?
Well,
yes.
Yeah, probably. CBS can't carry them.
Probably.
Yeah, CBS would have to do a night game if they want the NFL because their 3:30 game on Saturday. Sometimes that thing goes till about 8 o'clock. Yeah. I mean, those are long football games usually. So if that goes till 8, I mean, you can't really kick off an NFL game on that network until 8:30.
Right. And you guys still think, as of today, Pete, you kind of you were my way of thinking that eventually the SEC and ACC will not play. You guys still feel that way? Or you think they'll go their own road and do it?
I don't know.
I don't know.
Right now, I feel like it's on schedule here, and
I feel confident that the SEC will be the last conference to say we're closing up shop.
I think they're going this far. I think all three conferences now are going to really, really, unless they are ordered not to, unless things really, really get out of hand, they are going to go through with this and try to persevere.
Because my math says of the 13 FBS conferences, they're the only three left.
Yeah. AAC, right?
Am I wrong?
No, AAC. Okay. And,
then what I read this morning was wrong. You're right. I think the AAC
the
still
AAC is left.
Yeah, you're right.
So
you're
is
right. Okay, then that's
Conference USA is left, too.
Conference USA, too.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Now, here's what is true. And really, supposed to be 41 bowls and 82 bowl bids. Right now.
That can't work.
Yes, it can. There are only 77 teams
right.
left.
Everybody's bowl eligible.
So, yeah, everybody's bowl.
If you play, you're going
bowling.
We're
still going to have to cancel some bowl
games.
Right.
Yeah.
We're five teams short.
Wow. And you just mentioned Nebraska got called out to the principal's office for wanting to go rogue. Desmond Howard went so far as to say, look, they're not Notre Dame. We're not bending over backward for Nebraska. In fact, we should kick them out of the Big Ten if they decide to go rogue. How about that?
And Scott Frost was saying, please kick us out. The Big 12 will take us.
Yeah.
They want us back.
That's where they should be.
But legally, you can't do it. We're
no, I know.
I know you can't. And then Ryan Day isn't giving up either.
No. And neither's Penn State.
Yeah.
Let's go right from one football season, and we'll crown a national champion, and then the next night the Big Ten will kick off the college football season.
Well,
again.
By then it's going to be the Big Ten. But actually, really, it might really be the Big Ten.
It would be an appropriate name at that point.
You know, the other schools are going to play in the fall, and then the rest of the Big Ten, Indiana and the such, they play in the spring.
Ryan Day said today on a TV or radio station, he said, we've got to start it as soon as we can. I think starting the first week of January would be the way to go.
Wow.
I think it's our job, and we owe it to these guys and make sure that we put the schedule and put the plan in quickly. Who is they? So say that Ohio State, Nebraska, and Michigan, Penn State get together in cahoots. And okay, who's approving it?
They can be anybody you want it to be, Pete Shepard. Let's go to the phones. 239-337-ESPN. Chris in the Cape wants to talk about his Michigan Wolverines. Chris, how are you?
How you guys doing today?
Good.
Very good. How about you?
Good. It's not even a Michigan thing. I think it's a Big Ten thing.
Yes.
And I think they made this decision very, very premature.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I can tell you, I personally, in my opinion, if there was Delaney was still commissioner, we wouldn't be where we're at right now. We would still be in full to play.
Mm-hmm. Well, how much do you blame the presidents, though, over the commissioner?
I think the commissioner is weak, and I think the top leadership is very weak in the Big Ten right now. I don't know. It's just...
Well, you might be right, but Chris, you might be right, but the big question is, how do we know if it's Kevin Warren? And I've been saying the last couple of days his job might be in jeopardy, but if he's being overruled by the presidents, how can you blame the commissioner? Is it fair to do that?
all I'm saying is that you're paying these head football coaches and athletic directors for these football programs multi-million dollars to lead and teach these young men and further their lives and stuff like that. And for the most part, all these programs are on board with playing and going by a safe protocol and doing things the right way. And they all wanted a fall season. So it only came from the very top. I mean, Nebraska wanted to play, obviously. I mean, the president came out and Nebraska said he wanted the football season.
Yeah.
I just, there's so much imbalance with the top of the leadership right now that you don't know who's right or who's wrong or who said this and who said that and who really didn't want, you know, to do this. I just think this is so premature. And I'm telling you, it has to come from the top. If Delaney's
okay, the top who, though? The president, the chancellors, or the – I mean, they have the final say. The commissioner is kind of just reacting to the vote. And if the chancellors and the president voted that they didn't want to do this, then what's the commissioner supposed to do?
Here's what I think happened. I think the commissioner made a decision. And then the president slapped them on the wrist, says, no, we're not doing that. And there was a humongous gap in communication between – 80s and coaches, mm-hmm. to the commissioner, to the president, so the president's back down. The communication between those groups was horrendous in the Big Ten.
And then you have, you know, Gene Smith and the incoming president 2 days ago saying, oh, they support the schedule and that started the season, yada, yada. And then yesterday they do a complete 180.
I just believe there's this very lack of communication and lack of leadership. I mean, because I have to believe on a personal standpoint, if you go by the coaches that have been outspoken about wanting to play a fall football season, that you would have to think that the presidents of the universities would back their coaches and their athletic directors. I would think, yes.
I would make the connection between the athletic directors and the coaches, but the presidents are their own deal. I would not say the presidents automatically back the
I have yet, though, to hear an explanation of how you can allow all these kids back on campus and in classes and claim that they are safer than what and somehow eliminate football and fall sports, and that's supposed to make everything okay. The hypocrisy is over the top pathetic.
Well, Pete Shepard, perfect segue into my next point. I don't know if you read the piece in the LA Times yesterday about this, but basically it was all about the players wanting to unionize. And we talked about how difficult it was in the Pac-12 and six different states, six different rules. And also the players in the Pac-12 were more vocal about unionizing over revenue sharing in addition to their health and safety and Black Lives Matter and all that kind of stuff. The Big Ten players were all getting together, and we have about 1,000 of them, actually. But all they really wanted was their health taken care of, and more so long-term as well. So this piece went on to say that they were getting close to unionizing. Mm-hmm. That's what really scared the presidents, because once you unionize, you got to be considered an employee or vice versa. And
only for public schools, though.
Well, that's true. But this article went on to say that the Big Ten and the Pac-12 are so scared of losing amateurism mm-hmm. that they decided to just bail on the whole season. That has nothing to do with heart disease, not as much to do with COVID. But the real reason that they did the 180 between last Thursday when they released the schedule and this weekend was the possibility that they were going to have to declare these people employees and lose amateurism forever.
And I think we brought up that point, and I agree with that. And you 180,000%.
Yeah. That's a big percent.
They are a bunch of chicken bleep you know what for doing this. They caved. They caved, and they went into the fetal position way too early. And it's so ridiculous because the chances of you can't just snap your fingers if you're and would say we're forming a union. I don't know how many times you're going to say it, and especially in the Pac-12, it would be you got six different states involved with private institutions and public institutions, six different sets of rules plus different sets of rules if you're public or a private institution. I mean, I would have said, yeah, go ahead, try to do it, and go ahead. It's not going to happen. And you're right. They absolutely caved.
And I think the story is not that the Big Ten decided way too early. This real smoke in this that you got to clear through is, why do they switch over a 72-hour period from Thursday to Saturday night?
And that's where I think you got to give Kevin Warren maybe a little bit of slack here.
Yeah.
I don't think he wanted this. The more I think about it, the more now.
And on Thursday, he thought he was good to go, and I think he got a call from the president's going, not so fast.
And I wouldn't be shocked if somehow he did lose his job, got thrown under the bus and run over every which way by everybody.
They could make him a fall guy.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, maybe. Absolutely. Maybe I'm starting to come away thinking
and
that.
It's more the presidents that should be are responsible for this.
Yeah.
But I want one of these guys to come out. These guys would have, you know, a bunch of letters after their name and degrees, and tell me how it is safer for students to be in class, and football players can, and the other sports as well, can be in class but not play football. Tell me how it's safer.
Well, Pete, I mean, you're not even missing that. They can still play football. They can practice together.
For 20 straight weeks for 20 hours a day.
So
20 hours
again,
a week.
It's okay to practice for 20 hours a week. But the 3 hours window on Saturday, that's where we got to draw the line. If I'm a commissioner of the other conference, if I'm a commissioner of a professional sports league, I'm calling up the Big Ten and saying, guys, I need this data. What data are you being shown that's leading to this conclusion?
They won't do it.
Because if I'm Adam Silver, I've got guys playing right now.
Right. Mm-hmm.
There have been NBA players with COVID who have tested positive. Yeah. I need that information. It's your duty to share that information with everybody, and we're not seeing it.
That's why I think it goes back to that union fear. I really do.
Yeah, I agree, too. The only way that happens, Chris, is if somebody sues the Big Ten and somehow they are forced to show it in disclosure.
The Big Ten's catching a lot of heat today, I think.
Today?
Not from everybody.
From a lot of people, they are.
It'd be really easy if this comes down to the heart issue. Hey, this is the data. Look at it. This is it. But they're not doing that. Why is that? Why are they not screaming from the mountaintop to every league that's playing right now? Guys, it's not safe long-term for the athletes. They're not doing that, though. I went back through last night. I've tried to find any athlete in the world that's been hospitalized with COVID.
Right.
I can't find one.
Right. Yeah, it'd be a good story if they could say, look, only 1% of our athletes are testing positive, but 9% of those 1%, they're getting serious heart problems. That would be hard data. That would be easy to make a decision on that.
Right.
We don't have that.
Yeah,
right.
Juan Rodriguez of the Red Sox had, you know, the myocarditis a couple, you know, 3 weeks ago, and with heart inflammation.
Was he hospitalized?
I think he was. Okay. He was in hospital because that was, but you're right. Overall, there haven't been many. In fact, Sarah Spain brought him up last night. But overall, the reason why we're not going to see the data is because they don't have it.
And that's
they don't have enough to support their cause. That is the problem. It's so obvious that this is not about that. This is exactly about we brought this up, and it's great that the Pact, the LA Times brought it up. But we said this, that the big part of this was they were afraid. They caved to some kids who said they might form a union. That's what it came down to.
Yep. Got to keep that amateurism. Wow.
And the Big Ten and Pac-12 are always in cahoots. They're always.
Yeah, they're kind of a package deal.
Yeah, they always have been.
Just always have been.
Little brother following Big Brother around.
And let's be clear, the Big Ten's the Big Brother.
Big Ten's the Big Brother.
Yes,
little brother.
Yes,
absolutely.
Yes.
What are you guys going to do? We want to do that too. No, I want an airplane. No, I want an airplane.
No, that little Bugs Bunny cartoon with the big bulldog, Spike, and the little dog would be asking, "Hi, Spike. Spike is my pal."
Yeah, yep.
Hi, Spike. I got that bone for you, Spike. Come on, Spike.
So now we got a situation where Justin Fields, who released, I think, a shaking my head emoji on Twitter after the Big Ten meeting. So he's got to sit home on Saturdays and watch Trevor Lawrence on national TV, the guy he's going to be fighting for the number one pick in the draft, and now he can't play. That's got to eat him alive. Yeah. Does he transfer? I mean, that's. But then he's got to wait to see if the SEC and ACC actually follow through and play.
Look, right now, you can't just snap your fingers and say, I'm transferring today. And have it pick. I mean, I don't see that happening. And one thing, you can put this up on the back of the wall, too. There will never, ever, ever be spring football in the Power Five conferences. No way. I don't care what anybody says. It will never happen. No way.
All right, let's explore that, because that's what they're saying. That yesterday, the Big Ten, the Pac-12 says, we hope to play in the spring. That might have been kicking the can down the road.
I never thought there would be. It's too short a season. It's too much too soon.
That's the problem. The backside playing 24 games in how many months?
It'll never happen. And, you know, it's something that Urban Meyer brought up yesterday, this morning on Get Up, you know, Finney and others. And there's no way. I don't know what the Ivy League may do with the FCS, but in the Power Fives, to me, they're in a chance in hell this spring football.
Well, I would say a chance in hell, and I'll tell you why. Again, in the spring, they're still missing this budget. I mean, $100 million per school is $100 million. And in the spring, they might even be able to have fans who would pay money. And again, follow the money trail, not the common sense trail.
I should never say there. I'll say it's I'm about 98% sure of that. I'll leave a little slack open. And the other big question, though, if there is, they're going to have to get the NFL to push the draft back.
Yes.
If there's going to be spring football, if there's any chance of spring football, the only way is if the NFL moves the draft back from April 21st, I believe. Otherwise, it makes no sense at all.
They could, or they could still have the draft in April while the season's going on. Baseball does it, but I would just say, all right, I just drafted so-and-so. You're not playing anymore. You've played your last college game and show up to OTAs after. Who knows? This thing's wide open. Because the NFL has been very stubborn about changing its schedule. They may say, we're still having
Well, no, they said a few months ago, we are not pushing back the draft. Right. Now I'm not so sure.
Yeah.
And you do feel for a guy like Justin Fields and a lot of other players.
I know.
In that situation because, you know, I don't know how. I mean, Justin Fields, in the limited time I've seen him, looks pretty good. But I think he needs a little bit more
he
work.
He needs a season is what he needs.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, Trevor Lawrence looks fresh out of the box, ready to go. So I don't know. Could be very, very interesting.
3:09 left in the first overtime.
How many overtime? All right, we're gonna have put it on the poll. Is this gonna go more overtimes than last night?
There have been more overtime periods than games played in the postseason so far.
That's true.
I got a great list by the way in Major League Baseball afterwards when we come back. But at some point,
yes. We'll do that. I do have a couple thoughts, some hard knocks to talk about, some NFL news. We'll get to all of that. Let's put it on a poll whether people think we're going to have a Power 3 and then a Power 2 in the spring, or does everybody move to the spring, or third option, we're not playing any football at all. I think we should put something up on the Twin Peaks Twitter poll today in that regard. We'll take care of all of that. Don't forget Pete's Red Sox. It's a great day for Pete Shepard. He's watching his Bruins right now in overtime. We've got the Red Sox tonight. They're taking on the Rays.
Hang on. A day late, dollar short. Same thing Pete said about MLB. No way in hell they were playing. No, that's not what I said. What I said was they would never complete a whole season. And these two will back me up on that. I said they will never complete 60 games.
You did say that.
That's all
I
said.
But I'm wondering if in the very, very beginning, did you say they know?
No, I said there was. I said I could see a chance of them not playing. Okay. But my overall point was no way they're getting 60 games in for everybody.
Okay.
Ain't going to happen.
But. Red Sox tonight getting one of their games in, taking on the Rays. Coverage starts at 6:30, first pitch at 7:30. Red Sox in Southwest Florida on the radio, brought to you by Naples Wealth Planning right here on 99.3 ESPN. Scheman and Shepard warming up on a hump day Wednesday. 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.
Follow the guys on Twitter at PChef326 and at Craig ESPN. This is Scheman and Shepard on 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.
Scheman and Shepard, 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app. It's escaping me.
The Archies?
Yeah, I think it is. Yeah.
Good tune
back in the day. Your Boston Bruins are going into double overtime against Carolina now.
Come back in a power play, though, for a few seconds.
All right. I want to read a couple of
double
texts.
Double overtime.
On the Stony Brook Golf Club text line. First of all, Green Falcon says, speaking of Ole Urban, I saw a video of the shirtless guy in the with no audio. We were talking about this at the end of our show. I think one of you, I
tweeted it
out. Posted it on our website at 99.3ESPN.com. Urban Meyer's doing an interview. It looks like on his yacht. And some dude comes in the background, but it's reflecting in the mirror. And so it could be seen on TV over his shoulder, and he's half dressed. And all of a sudden, Urban catches it. And you know, Urban's
he's standing behind Urban, and it's reflecting.
I think he's standing in front of him, and it's reflecting on a mirror behind him, I think. If you look closely.
Oh, no, Urban.
It's a mirror.
It's definitely a mirror reflection.
So the mirror's behind him, but the guy's in front of him. And finally, Urban realizes
guy's in front of him. Yes, exactly.
He finally realizes the guy's on national TV, shirtless, and Urban, who's a control freak
drinking
about
a beer,
image,
it looks like.
Is trying to, like, just with his eyes, like a quarterback looking off a safety, but with this fierceness, trying to get this guy. Go get out of my shot. And it's hilarious. It's worth a look either on Pete's Twitter account or at 993ESPN.com. Lizard says, so when the SEC and ACC call it quits due to a COVID outbreak, do you guys have a show dedicated to that?
So Lizard had some interesting text yesterday, right? I mean, if you have all the answers, Lizard.
Explain to me, Lizard, how
these chancellors and presidents are allowing kids back in the classroom, and you think that's safe too, right? I mean, if you want to go the whole way, go the whole way. If you don't think anybody should be allowed in any to be in school and all the classes should be online, okay. Go with it. But if you don't believe that, then you're full of crap.
239 says, love the show, guys. Been listening for 3 years, but you guys are on the wrong side of this Big Ten Pac-12 thing. I think you're delusional if you believe that the SEC and ACC and Big 12 is actually going to play this year. Well, first of all, 239, maybe I need to rewind and play slower. I've said yesterday and today, I don't think those three conferences play. I think they just wait to a later date, and I think they succumb. Now, I don't.
You actually asked Pete and I that question last segment, right. And neither one of us said for sure that there would be football played this fall. All I said was the SEC will be the final conference to opt out. They'll be the last one to board up shop.
I said yesterday, if we get off the air and the Big 12 said they're not going to play, then I really didn't think there would be football. But I do believe now they're going to at least try to start the season. Look, this is a change your mind day to day type of thing. Right now, I believe they will play college football.
I love the victory laps that get taken right now, though, with all these kids, having their dreams of playing college football taken away from them. But hey, you guys, you keep taking your victory laps. It's a real classy move on your part.
There's a lot of people out there. Not just
it's crazy.
Most of our texters are rad, but some of you just want to point the finger.
It's like
and
good.
You can't
Creep,
wait to say,
man.
See, I told you.
I know. It's like, calm down.
Well, you guys do that to me all the time. You can't wait to point out something that I may have misspoken.
I think that's maybe not
100% correct.
I think that happens with all of us.
You guys lay at home and I go, I can't wait to see if Craig's wrong. I can't wait to point it out.
We never do that for me or Chris, though. Never.
No.
Absolutely
I do like Chris's analogy, though, of the SEC being the last one. They're kind of like those people in the neighborhood, the Cat 5 hurricane's coming. Everybody's evacuated. But then they're the ones that put up the boards when it's already raining out, and they're going to pull up later.
The SEC is Oaks Farm down in Naples with the mask.
Yes.
Hey, we're not wearing a mask. Yes. We're not doing it.
That place is a trip. I love it.
Have you been there?
Many times. Yeah.
No, yeah. But since the whole mask thing, I don't live anywhere close there, so I never.
Yeah. I've been there. There are places don't wear masks.
It's fun up there.
The other day, there was a huge 80-foot semi parked right on Immokalee Boulevard. I don't know how they got permission to do that. It was all decked out in Trump Pence 2020 stuff. it was hilarious. What else?
Somebody that I know that is a, I'm not going to say who it is, but it just kind of sent me a private message, who's a student on campus at FGCU. It says, I think it lasts less than a month at FGCU. Just got word Monday night that a student in housing tested positive. It's the first of many. And this person goes on to say the university can't control the off-campus frat parties and other parties of that nature. It'll probably ruin fall sports for FGCU.
Well, yeah, fall sports.
Yeah.
Fall sports is ruined for almost everybody.
Yeah.
I'm curious to see how that's going to work out. Obviously, I have a vested interest in how that campus runs. And, I think they only had one positive case in the spring, if I remember correctly. I know they've got plans where sections of dorms are already cleared out and empty to be quarantine areas for students. So they're, have a place to go and quarantine if they do get sick.
Fitz Baltimore, we know the Bruins and Carolina are on. We've been watching it. I have since 11 o'clock this morning. Double overtime.
Been keeping an eye?
Yeah.
No, trust me.
Yeah.
Mentioned you hear me shriek in disgust or victory.
We won't have full Pete until this game's over.
No, I'm
not
full
Pete.
I'm used to this, my friend.
I'm not gonna say half Pete. We're three quarters Pete with you keeping an eye on a game. That's all right. I can carry it.
Our Twitter poll is up.
Oh, good. All right. How's it worded?
What do you think the outcome for Power 5 college football this season? You have three choices. A, SEC, ACC, Big 12 play in the fall. Big 10 and Pac 12 play in spring. B, all conferences move to spring. C, there will not be any college football this year.
Excellent.
65 votes already. And it was just put up. A, SEC, ACC, and Big 12 play in fall with Big 10 and Pac 12 playing in spring is ahead. 55.4%. There will be no college football altogether is in second place at 26.2, and B, all conferences move to spring 18.5. I think it's going to be extremely difficult for it to happen. And I also think it would be smart for the NFL to come out right now, don't you, to be fair to everybody and say either they're going to move it back or they're not.
The draft.
Roger Goodell, yeah, move the draft back or not. Don't you think? Just come out right now and say something definitive.
I think the NFL could do whatever the hell they want. Right now, they're keeping it.
But
make your decisions. They're not making a decision to help out college. They never have. The NCAA and the NBA don't help each other out. I mean, they're all their own separate entities. They're going to do what's best for them. And right now, I think the NFL thinks it's best to stay.
Is a different set of circumstances, Craig.
I agree.
All I'm saying is I wonder if they would consider it.
I'm telling you, not yet.
Okay,
I don't think so.
Then just come out and say, we're not moving it. Then just say it now so everybody's on the same page. That's all. I'm not saying they shouldn't move it. I'm saying just let everybody know so everybody's on the same page so we don't have all this lack of miscommunication and innuendo and hearsay coming out in the next couple of months.
Yeah.
But I don't think that it should be on the NFL to work with the Pac-12 and the Big Ten.
It's not their responsibility.
They've got a league calendar. They've got their draft date set. They've got, you know, there's a lot of work that goes into that before the event actually happens. And, you know, they like having a big event every month.
Yeah, but this is something different, Chris, that we've never seen before.
I agree with you.
I don't think it's
Roger Goodell's problem.
Then just come out and say, we are not moving the draft.
He has to say. They've said that we're not making any changes to the NFL schedule.
Until I see a change in the schedule.
Say it again. Well, it hurts you to say it again.
I don't know. Is anybody in the NFL even talking right now? I haven't heard Roger Goodell's voice in a few weeks.
All I know is right now, as of August 12th, and I know we got like COVID precautions and protocol in the NFL, but largely you can take a big step back and a macro look at all this. The NFL is the only institution that has not been affected at all by COVID. They got their season in right under the gun as COVID was just taken off. They got their draft done. They did the combine. They did their offseason. The only thing they altered, they didn't have OTAs. And now they're getting ready to start the season, and they lost their preseason. So, I mean, there have been some changes, but largely you would have to argue the NFL is the least affected league up to today out of anybody.
It might be the least affected business.
Yeah.
Like, anywhere.
Yeah. They still got their money last year. Right.
Yeah, and today, all the teams, everybody's together.
Everybody's together. You got Jerry Jones speaking to the media.
Oh, did you hear what he said?
Oh, they're having fans in Cowboys Stadium this year, folks.
Ready for this,
Craig? How about 50%?
Cowboys owner Jerry Jones says AT&T Stadium has a. Okay.
No, it's not. It's not.
Jerry Jones said today, says AT&T Stadium has a naturally built airflow that can help keep fans safe during this pandemic. Quote, I'm real proud that we have the stadium work with. It says stadium protocols for game days coming end of the week. A natural built airflow.
What does that mean?
So do I. I have a natural airflow.
Here's the problem. Air does not flow in Dallas on a hot, muggy day. It's not like ripping through there.
It's like dry fit underwear. It's got good airflow.
This is like the Hall of Justice, I guess. I don't know. Some sort of super air. I don't know.
Speaking of airflow, I was disturbed by Dallas the Dog's text at 2:37 today. It said, side note, been able to sneak the AC in the house down to 76.
Nice, Dallas.
I'm missing out. 76?
No, you were away last week.
Has he been? Oh, what?
This happened last Thursday or Friday when I was hosting.
Yeah.
We got into proper air conditioning settings when the power blinks or something like that. So we had a few guys who were being told by their wives they could not move their thermostat below 78 in some cases.
Oh, dear Lord.
And that's 76. And so that became a big issue in the 5 o'clock hour. It might have been on Friday or Thursday, but yeah. Big,
if mine gets above 74, I'm moving it down to 72 or 73.
73 usually is where it's at.
73 is our sweet spot in our house. 78? People do 78?
Well, they're forced to.
That's like a rest home. I mean, that's hot.
They're forced to.
But it's like putting the heat on in the summer.
I do like how Dallas the Dog, I remember he texted back last week, I guess. You were out last week. Anyway, he texted back and said he got a hold of the household CBA and got an addendum put in to be able to drop it down.
People were showing us pictures of their thermostat, sending us texting.
That's nice. Yeah. I'm sorry I missed that.
This is what my wife made me do.
All right. We got Sound Street coming up. A lot of interesting stuff to get to. And don't forget, the brand new ESPN radio lineup debuts on Monday, the national show. It doesn't affect us at all or the national network. We've got Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin in the morning. J. Will will be here. We'll talk to him tomorrow on our show. Don't forget, you get Dan Lebatard's show with Stu Gotsnow from 10 to noon. Mike Greenberg, called Greeny, he comes back to the network. He's on from noon to 2. He'll be our lead-in. We remain the same, 2 to 6 right here. Sheeman and Shepard, all part of the all-new ESPN radio lineup starting on Monday. Sheeman and Shepard, 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.
A cruise through all the sound.
But they're not going to rook us.
Don't you ever talk about me!
About you.
Come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
I can say anything I want. That's the beauty of this country.
I'm not laughing about it. You think this is funny? I take this serious.
It's time for
Sound Street on Sheeman and Shepherd.
All right, Pete's a little excited. Justifiably so.
Patrice Bergeron in double overtime. Great goal.
Win in five overtimes, then come talk to me.
Yeah, really. Yeah, congratulations
on
that.
I'll tell you a funny story about a triple overtime game with people at my house. What happened? Anyway, go ahead.
All right, stand by. By the way, like Chris said, triple overtime, that's nothing. How about five overtimes? Was the fourth longest game in NHL history, 6 hours. Last night, the Tampa Rays... Tampa Bay Lightning. Good God, that's the second time I've done that today.
Twice.
Give me the sheet.
Here's Brandon Point with a game-winning shot.
Rick
Peckham,
by the way,
overtime.
Former announcer of the Hartford Whalers back in the day, doing a great job for about 24 years here in Southwest Florida. He's got the call.
Here's Fox Sports Sun.
I was watching this last night.
Kucherov again scuffs that hit. Gavrikov, they score! It's fired by Brandon Point. The shot hit Gavrikov, came back to point, and he fires it in for the game-winning goal in overtime number 5, and the Lightning capture game 1 of the series.
And the crowd goes wild. Oh, that's right.
The fake crowd did,
no
though.
Crowd.
What a game.
Here's Point afterward, no way to prepare for a game like that.
I think you just try to stick with the program. I thought we were getting some good chances. There's no way to prepare for a game that goes that long. I thought we did a good job of just competing and keeping our feet moving. I mean, so did they. They played fantastic as well. And it was a good game. I thought it was a close game, but you know, I don't think you're focusing on the end result. You're just focusing on how you're playing and what you need to do that next shift.
It's funny because last night Keith Jones on NBC Sports Network, one of the studio hosts who used to play in the NHL, was in one of these four overtime games before. He was talking about, you know, how you stay hydrated and what he's eating between periods. He's like, yeah, most of my pizza, everything on it, slice here, everything on in between.
Oh.
All these guys now are like, no, like all these healthy power bars the diets are completely different now than what they were even 10 years ago.
It's fuel. Fuel for the body.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, Big Ten postponing the fall season from the University of Wisconsin. Their athletic director, Barry Alvarez, is bummed.
I have to tell you right now, I feel sick. I actually feel sick to my stomach. I just, I've felt that way for the last month and a half, 2 months. I just haven't felt good about what's going on. Every day I get different answers or different reasons. I can't put my finger on this pandemic or COVID. Every time you read something, it's a little bit different. And I'm trying to figure out how we can play. Everybody wants to play. That's important to me. It's important to our athletes, our coaches. I know they all want to play. And we're trying to figure out ways that we can play.
That's a great soundbite. I mean, it encompasses everything.
It sounds a lot better after when you saw some of his words yesterday. We're like, oh, he's totally again. Yeah, now you can just tell he feels devastated
torn
and hurt
by it.
And
right.
I'm sure he represents most people in the Big Ten.
All right, here's a little bit of a different attitude. Here's Chip Kelly out at UCLA. And you have to trust the process of the conference.
There's a lot of uncertainty, and we're trying to figure out, you know, do you have the right information? Our North Star that will guide us is the health and safety of the student-athlete, and I think that's the decision that they ended up making.
All right. Let's listen in on 105.3, the Fan, LSU, Ed Ogeron.
He wants his kids to play football. Go Tigers.
our staff does a great job of recruiting great character kids, and we go out there and character counts, and that's one of the biggest things we had on our football team last year. So our guys are here. They're working hard. As you know, you played here. Guys are motivated to win championships here, graduate, go to NFL. And that's what our guys want to do. We have never blanked. We have a saying, block out the noise. There's a lot of stuff going on out there. But I told our team, as soon as I hear something that's different than our plan, I'll tell you. But right now our plan is to play on September 26th. We're preparing that way. We've had some great practices. We're going out there and running as a football team and conditioning. Our guys haven't blinked.
Go Tigers.
Mm.
All right. He also said, we can't worry about the Big Ten. Bunch of sissies.
You know, one thing, you know, that's out of our control. I know this. From what I'm hearing, and I've talked to our commissioner, Greg Sankey, we're fighting to play. We're fighting to play September 26th. We're going to listen to our medical people. And I do believe that our presidents and our SEC commissioners are going to make the best decision for our players and our conference when it's time.
All right. That was Ed Ogeron. Coming up, we got more sound. David Pollack with some interesting sound on ESPN Radio about players getting representation. And Lou Holtz, in case you missed it, we talked about the actual sound of him comparing football with World War II.
Lou Holtz!
Lou Holtz.
All that more. We got to get – how did Cabrera get on first? Did he walk? Did he hit? What did he do? I missed it. I looked down.
Why is this game important? Do you have shekels?
Yeah. Oh, well, okay. Actually, the game is – the shekels have been determined.
Acquired.
The over has hit. It is the fifth inning.
Yeah.
I'm going to sit back and put my feet up for the rest of this one.
All right.
Smoke them if you got them.
Smoke them if you got them, everybody. 3 o'clock hour next. Sheeman and Shepard.
Bergeron!
99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.